Brett Hudson covers the Alabama Tide for the Tuscaloosa News. He joins us to talk about Alabama LSU tomorrow in Tuscaloosa at 3:30 on CBS. How you doing, Brett?
You know, I'm doing good now that I'm out of town. Tuscaloosa is an absolute madhouse right now. My house is about 15 minutes away from campus, and the wife and I went into town earlier this afternoon. It was an absolute zoo out there, and they've got a bunch of events going on near campus tonight. So I'm doing pretty good now that I'm not in the madhouse that is Tuscaloosa, Alabama this evening. It's almost as if there's a big game in town. It's weird, isn't it?
So what do they go out and hit the bars and party, or what's going on?
I assume as much, yeah. Tuscaloosa is a college town after all.
Yeah, so this same game, we always hear about how great it's going to be, and then Alabama usually beats their ass.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it's been. And it's kind of nice to have the game reach this sort of significance again, because I was in college in the early part of this decade when the game of the century was happening, and Bama LSU was this awesome, nationally relevant battle every single year. So it's nice to see it get back to that, because frankly, it's been a good 4 or 5 years since I've even considered it mathematically possible that LSU could beat Alabama. But now LSU has done this marvelous thing where they've discovered the forward pass and modernized their offense, and all of a sudden they're an incredibly good football team. It's funny how that works out, but the result has given us one more chapter in what's been a pretty impressive run of significant football between Bama and LSU, and I'm looking forward to it.
So what do you think of the people that have said that Tua Tagovailoa, who's, you know, been injured, and now he's allegedly coming back tomorrow, and I'm, you know, feeling pretty certain he'll play in that football game. So what do you think of the people that are saying that he's kind of regressed and that he's not the same quarterback that he was, and that he, you know, all this tank for Tua stuff is going out the window because there's people like Joe Burrow who his stock is soaring, and now I'm hearing like people are down on Tagovailoa in terms of that he's not the number one.
Well, I've seen a little bit of that, not a ton of it, but I was looking at the numbers in the open week before this LSU week leading up to the game, and the numbers are somewhat similar to what he was last year, but they're also exactly what you would expect of him. I know last time I was on this show, I mentioned how Tua kind of took a take what's given to you. The phrase we heard him say several times was, you can't go broke taking a profit. And if that meant going to a dump off or taking a short or intermediate route instead of trying to force the issue downfield, then that's what it meant. And it's easy to do that when you have a wide receiving core as good as this one. But that approach is very much evident in his numbers. His completion percentage is up about 4% or so. And yes, his yards per attempt are down, I think from 13-ish yards attempt last year to like 11-ish yards attempt this year. But that 11 yards per attempt is second in the nation right now, ironically, behind Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. So do with that juxtaposition what you will. But it's not like Tua's numbers are significantly worse this year. And frankly, there are a lot of NFL systems that would do better statistically with this year's version of Tua than last year's version, because last year's version would take some risks that NFL folk would rather him not. And this year's version of Tua is very far from that. So I actually think Tua is better suited for the NFL this year than he was last year for those reasons, and because the offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, does come from the NFL. He said he would put some pro-style pass concepts in this playbook, and he has. And Tua seems to execute those pretty well when he's given the opportunity. So I actually think Tua is more well-equipped for the NFL now than he was this time last year.
Do you think that Brett Hudson with us from the Tuscaloosa News, do you think that because their passing game, the receivers are so great with Judy Smith and Ruggs and Waddle that they're just going to, throw the ball, in this game because they're so good at it. And their running game has been, in my view, kind of average with Harris and Robinson. It's not that impressive, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, the strength of this team is in the wide receiver core and Tua. And I think they're aware of that. So if push came to shove, which we expect it to, right, it's what, like a 5.5 point, 6 point spread, we assume that they'll put the ball in their hands and let them be the ones that decide the game. But you go back to the season rushing numbers, and yeah, the season rushing numbers aren't very good because they took, or at least not up to the quote-unquote Bama standard, because they took probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks, which at this point is half of the sample size, right, only 8 games into the season, really figuring itself out. You go back to that South Carolina game, they barely ran it at all, and when they did, they didn't run it very well, so they really kind of set their jaw to being able to run the football. And of course, a couple weeks after that, they made a change on the offensive line. It was mostly due to injury. They had to move the Florida State transfer, Landon Dickerson, from right guard to center and put Deontay Brown in at right guard, who missed the first 4 games of the year due to a NCAA suspension. But that new combination with Deontay Brown in at right guard has been an absolutely mauling combination. And plus, they're very deep on the offensive line. So they've been able to take a couple of offensive linemen, Kendall Randolph and Chris Owens, and convert them to tight ends, like gave them the new jersey numbers and everything. Kendall Randolph was 60-something. Chris Owens was 79. They both have numbers in the 80s now. And put them in as tight ends and basically use them as extra offensive lineman sets when they're in down and distance situations and field position situations where it behooves them to just maul people. They have those extra offensive linemen they can put in as tight ends to do that. So while I don't think anybody's kidding themselves in admitting that Tua and this wide receiver group are the strength of the offense and of the team as a whole, they have been showing progress in the run game, but it's also come mostly against bad teams, against Ole Miss, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas A&M. The opinions vary on them. So the running game has shown improvement, but this is going to be the best test of the season, which says something because this isn't the LSU defense that we normally see. They're not god-awful by any stretch, but it's not the top 10 unit that we come to expect from the Tigers.
Do you think, you know, both of these teams have had their struggles, believe it or not, in the red zone? And same thing with Alabama last year against Clemson. Trouble inside the red zone, and then LSU has all kinds of problems, believe it or not, inside the 10. I was looking at all those crazy stats. And then both teams have issues with their kicking games and, you know, field goals and the like. Do you think all that is going to become a huge factor in that game tomorrow? Is red zone issues and field goal issues and problems in those various divisions of their game?
I see your point, and I can definitely see where both of those situations are ultimately swing factors in the game, because if you look at both teams and they're built relatively the same way, they have very complex and efficient and explosive passing attacks, and they both have good quarterbacks, they both have good wide receiving cores. They don't really plan on stopping inside the 15, inside the 10, because they're kind of counting on explosive plays to score their touchdowns. They don't plan on going on the 9-play, 10-play, 75-yard, 6-minute scoring drive. That's not really part of their DNA. Now, with everything I mentioned about Alabama and the run game and the offensive line earlier, they're trying to add that to their arsenal when they want to use it. But that's clearly not the strength of their team, and you can say the same for LSU. So if either of these offenses are stalled inside the 20, inside the 15, inside the 10 at times, and they have to go into goal line situations where they're playing in a phone booth, right? They don't have the same spread spacing advantage that they have when the ball's on the 40, for example. That could very well decide the game, and I think it goes back to the offensive line tight end role I mentioned earlier. Bama's gone to that more than once in that situation pretty frequently now that I think about it. They'll even put non-fullbacks, because who has a fullback on the roster anymore, but they'll put non-fullbacks at the fullback position in an I form. It used to be a linebacker, Ale Kaho, but he broke his hand, so then it was a backup tight end, Giles Amos. So you're looking at goal line sets from Alabama that you're probably averaging over 330 pounds on the field at that point. So Alabama likes to think they're equipped for that, but again, this is going to be the biggest test of that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see these two throwing some, you know, 20 to 30 yard type plays, because Burrow's better than Tagovailoa at it. His numbers are 63% on anything over 20, and Tagovailoa is 38%. So I want to see if throwing it 20 plus in this game, it becomes a factor. There's a lot of things I can't wait to watch. I'm looking forward to it. 3:30 on CBS tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. Brett, great stuff tonight on the Bama-LSU game. Thanks for coming on the bench.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, Brett Hudson of the Tuscaloosa News.